a movement is probably the most, although movement would probably be the best way to describe it, although it's actually about not moving.
That's a good play on words. A movement about not moving.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Joe, Dr. Energy Piazza.
Rara is in the house. Catherine Asaro Myers.
Welcome back to BU Network Podcast, Conversations Worth Having. On our podcast, you can expect three things. One, the BU guest moment. Two, the BU moment. And three, the BU final moment.
As promised, we are giving you a very special audible on each show. Your job, well, not your job, it's to find it. You know the game Where's Waldo? Well, here we will ask you to listen for that audible. Hello, Dr. Energy. How are you today?
I'm awesome. And you?
I'm whipped.
Whipped? Oh, 50 Shades of Grey again.
We always come back to that. But this is whipped in a good way. I want to explain.
Well, is there any other way? It depends, I suppose, on your point of view.
It's all good. It's all good every way. So I'm going to go first about our BU moment
today. Absolutely.
Really excited about this. We are whipping everything. Now, that's virtually and that's right in front of us. We're just whipping it. So we have
you're being Devo, right?
Yes.
Whip it good.
That's it. That's who we are. And I'm so excited to bring this to our show today. So we are the proud owners of a Pampered Chef blender. So we never got one of these before. And this is the first time because we had our eyes on a Vitamix. So anyway, here it is. And we decided that we're gonna whip stuff up. We're gonna whip up soup and we're gonna take organic cashews and organic almonds and roast them and whip them.
My mouth's watering already.
We go to the store, we buy things and we've done it all our life. And you go to the shelf and you look at, we don't buy this anymore, but we use, you know, Jiffy or whatever those, we used to buy them. We used to think that that was, you know what I'm talking about?
That was
peanut butter. We used to eat peanut butter.
Oh my God. I couldn't survive at school today as a kid. I ate peanut butter 3 or 4 days a week for lunch.
It was the food choice, right? So there was either crunchy or creamy. Then as we got older, we realized like, okay, peanuts aren't good and this is better and buy this one. Now we go to Nature's Emporium and we go look at the shelf for 10 minutes because you can spend anywhere, if you're lucky, for $6.99 on sale to $25. And you're thinking, do I want that? And I really want macadamia and nut butter. Of course I want that. So we just got tired of that whole thing and said, we want to make our own. We're certain we know how to do this. How difficult could it be? So we get this blender and we read some recipes. We figured we can do it on our own. And we read a couple of recipes on, you know, like what's the quantity? So you take 3 cups of your nuts and you roast them and then you throw them in with coconut oil, and so it calls for salt, but we don't put it in. And you push a button, and that's it. And it comes out airy and light, and you could actually, I don't know, man, you could just like put it on ice cream. I don't eat ice cream, but you could do so many things with it. So I'm excited because we learned how to push a button and create a whipped nut butter that is awesome. I'm really excited about that. So today I'm whipped and I'm stoked about it. Aside from that, I'm in my bridge room with my 10-pound dumbbell, but we have had a birth. And that birth is our 10-pound dumbbell has a twin. And that twin has a whole new place to live. We set up a home gym.
Nice.
Because the gym in our building closed. So we were thinking, what are we going to do with home equipment? We don't need that. So I not only have one 10-pound dumbbell, but I have two for the price of one. So I'm here in my bridge room looking at my awesome painting with my frankincense and myrrh and a little bit of peppermint oil infusing. And I'm excited for the wonderful things that we have ahead. And the funny thing is, on the blender, there's a button. And we'll talk more about this later. But the button that really caught my eye was pause. We'll explain that later on, yes, in the show.
Yes, absolutely.
Tell us about you and your BU moment,
well,
please.
You know, I think we might have to introduce my two 25-pound kettlebells to your two 10-pound dumbbells and see what happens.
Love it. Love it. Well, we got a lot going on here, so you have, this could be another whole business for us. Wouldn't that be crazy?
Yeah. So
what are you doing with two 25-pound dumbbells? That's awesome.
Yes. So the kettlebells, I use them in a variety of ways. There's a lot of cool, really cool different ways that you can use them. So you can use them to do like swing from between your legs to up over your head. Yeah. I use them actually to do simulate a back squat with shoulder press. So I do a full squat with holding them, you know, about my shoulders. And then as I stand up from the squat, press overhead, I use them for
my hero,
bicep curls as well. Tricep extensions, and also for push-ups. So you can stand them. So the flat side is down. So now you're raised up off the floor a little bit and you can do a deeper push-up and you have to balance it. And then I haven't tried this yet myself, but I've seen people actually, and you need smaller ones so your hand can grab them. The 25 pounds are a bit big.
Yes.
With smaller ones, you turn them upside down so the handle's down on the floor. And now you really have to balance it as you're doing push-ups.
And wear a mouth guard.
Probably. Especially the first couple times you try it. But the whole point is that you have to now use all the small stabilizer muscles to help balance it. So you're increasing, and your core strength has to be more engaged, et cetera. So all these different variations, and then you can do, you know, they call them like jaguars or whatever, where you bring one, or mountain climbers, right? Where you bring one knee up to the opposite arm and then back down and then switch as you're doing push-up. So there's all kinds of different variations you can do. And so, you know, again, because gyms are closed and trying to, you know, stay in shape.
Yeah. We all have a floor and four walls.
Exactly. And then I also have one of those web strapping systems where you can like throw it over a door or hook to a hook in the ceiling. And so I can do like pull-ups and all that kind of stuff and everything as well. So still, you know, with not being able to go to gym or anything like that, it's a nice way to be able to still get in and work. And of course I have my bike on my trainer here set up in front of my two computer screens, so I can actually run a video across two screens. It looks like I'm actually out on the road cycling, which is a lot of fun. So I'm going to get into that a little bit later today, you know, when I've got that in my schedule to do. So otherwise it doesn't get done.
I like to play games, in case you don't know, and I like to challenge myself. So I put the gym in the room where my desk is, where my bills are. So I mean, of course, a lot of things are online, but I have things that are. So I thought, well, let me move my desk out of the room. I said, no, I'm going to go in and work out. And I'm going to face that noise. So,
right.
Okay, so you are really hot with these bells. All right, that's good. I didn't know that you did that. That's good to learn something about you.
So, you know, it's exciting and it gives me a chance to take a pause in the day from all the other stuff and just focus on, and what I find when I work out is in the moment when you're doing the actual exercise, obviously you need to be completely focused on the particular exercise you're doing. But I find that it really helps focus my mind. And then in the space in between sets or between exercises, I do some of my deepest thinking.
Yeah.
Or a lot of ideas seem to come up because my mind isn't so occupied with all the other minute details of the day and worries and concerns and fears and all that kind of stuff. So all those, that creativity is able to, bubble up, and it's almost like turning the volume down on all the stress and turning the volume up on all the creativity. That's how it feels to me. So,
wow, that's sort of a hosting place for all your greatness to show up.
And for anybody, right? That's the whole point. Not the whole point. That's one of the main benefits of exercise and meditation and yoga and all kinds of different types of self-discovery tools, journaling, reading, whatever.
We have so much exercise knowledge. We really should think about this.
I have been a personal trainer in the past, and God love them, the personal trainers, but it's not something I want to do again.
As have I, which we have that in common. But we could be consultants. Those who can do and those who can
don't,
teach.
Or don't want to teach.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I didn't want to say it like that. So
it's okay. There's definite value in knowing exactly what you want to do and also in knowing what you don't want to do. So we don't spend energy doing the things that we really aren't that interested in and put it the energy in a good place where it can be more efficiently used.
Especially if we've done it before and the way things are now and everything being virtual, it wouldn't be anything like it was 5 years ago or more.
No, exactly.
We're in new days.
Absolutely.
Those days are on a pause.
Oh, yes. Oh, there's that pause again.
We have some amazing concepts that come up on our shows. Yes. And we have some amazing guests that share things with us. And actually, they're all amazing, not some of them. Mm. And what I really enjoy is learning about something that I hadn't really known. And what I enjoy about our show today is we're all going to learn about, would you call it a movement? What would you call what we're going to discuss with our guest?
A movement is probably the most... Although movement would probably be the best way to describe it, although it's actually about not moving.
That's a good play on words. A movement about not moving. Okay. Right. Well, on that note, let's have our audience decide for themselves what they think about what's going to happen with us. And Don, want to go head on over there?
Yeah. I'll meet you on the other side.
Okay. Ciao.
Ciao.
BU study.
Be more at ease in your communication so you too can have conversations worth having. What is BU study? A private online room to rehearse impromptu speaking. Receive instant feedback and achieve quick results. And feel confident that no one is laughing, unless you're telling a joke.
Plug in anytime, anywhere. Study with seasoned pros. Access your customized feedback. Then speak with ease and build amazing relationships. Dr. Energy, how are you doing today? How you doing?
How you doing? I'm doing great.
You know, with the first name of our guest today, I just thought I'd go right into that Sicilian mafia mode.
The funny part is that we do that so probably too easily.
So naturally. And with the opportunity to talk about our guest, I thought when I say his name, I want to set the tone. You know how sometimes you can say Don or the Don, or the Godfather. So I'm just so excited, tapping into my roots today. This is so exciting. So I want to be able to introduce to you and to our listeners and our guests. Don is the founder of the one-time global event, Day of Pause, an invitation for the world to stop for a day. Don's pretty powerful, let me tell you. Mm-hmm. Don has also held the director position of Moto Yoga, Lore West, since its existence for 13 years so far. He happily parents two boys, pens a regular editorial for a newsletter. He leads a monthly men's circle. Let that sink in. A monthly men's circle. This is so cool. Mm-hmm. And he believes that people sharing music and movement will see humanity prevail. Like, I think about that and I say yes. And I've watched and listened to Don play music. And I've actually shared a really special moment with Don about a month ago when we shared a special Reiki moment. I'd like to bring on our guest, Don Christensen. Don, welcome to BU Network Podcast.
Thank you very much. Make me want to talk like this.
You got, well, that's how I see
that's
you.
That's very done. Good.
Say you got an offer, I can't refuse.
Absolutely. You're in between two Sicilians at this moment.
Oh, really? Okay.
That just turns it into a whole other
episode.
Say we should have a day of pause.
Thank you, Catherine and Joe, for having me.
Oh, we are so excited that you are able to be with us. And I'm so excited that we could do something else together. Remember when we did that Reiki healing that night?
Yes. Yes, that was a powerful class. That was beautiful.
I made sure I sat right in front of you. I almost willed everybody out of the way so I could place my mat in front of you that night.
Yeah, that was a powerful experience, really, just to set that up beforehand, and then have our Reiki practitioner moving about the room as well. It was just really beautiful.
And we had David in the car. Like, we had a really interesting, I don't know, it wasn't a triangle. It was an octagon angle, whatever we had. We had all these people, all these things going on. You're very powerful, powerful energy, Dawn. And I'd love to ask you a couple of questions about a day in the life of Dawn. Like, let's talk about today. What's a day in the life like for you?
Today in particular is unlike most days, definitely. In a sense, I've got a lot of time freed up due to the closure of the studio. And at the same time, that opens this door even wider to jump into my duties around the Day of Pause event. Typically a day for me, and this is a large reason why I think the idea of Day of Pause came through me. I see myself as a prime candidate for someone who needs to consciously stop, despite all my work with bringing awareness into other people's lives and whatnot. My life is very much about going most of the time, and I have a long to-do list, and I have moments of feeling overwhelmed. And the hard part for me is pretty much everything I do, I'm passionate about. So there is this desire to do it all, but at the same time, once you get caught up in that whole collective pull, it can be overwhelming. But in your average day, I'm yes. teaching at the studio. I'm doing administration for the studio. I'm doing research for my teaching. I'm a parent, of course. And a steward of a beautiful furry animal that I get to take on long walks, which is so helpful for my work as well. And aside from that, that's my life in a nutshell, and I adore it.
Thank you for sharing that, Dawn. Yes. I want to get into one aspect of it that our listeners and our friends and our guests would say, well, wow, you have all this amazing energy around you. Can you share one thing that you do, one breathing technique or one dance move or one song that you sing to yourself? So something that, for example, today, did you have something that you could share with us or even that you did already that could be incorporated into our own lives?
Good question. Something I call upon often in moments of challenge or difficulty is to definitely take that deep breath, but take it right down to my feet and just feel them press into the ground. And remember that my connection to the ground is a connection to all other humans on the planet. And there's something about that reset for me that just, it kind of cleans the air a bit, so to speak, and gives me that fuel to take that next breath and that next step and that next action, that make that next decision.
How's that breath go? Let's hear it.
It's always nostril. It's always nostril for me. Okay. Because that just regulates things in a way that immediately slows things down. So a deep, deep inhale through the nose and a long, relaxed exhale through the nose.
Oh, nose. You said nose. See, I didn't listen. I wasn't listening to you. In through the nose, out through the nose. Okay.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, when you, strong yogic tradition, actually, which is to breathe through the nostrils, inhales and exhales. It's much more calming on our nervous systems. There's typically a bit of a collision in the back of the throat when we breathe through our mouth, and it's not as calming for the nervous system. So, like when you breathe through the nose, you are typically equaling the air intake that the throat is prepared to take. And that immediately starts to regulate things, slow things down, including heartbeat.
Mm. Thank you. When you were saying that, I was thinking of a bull breathing.
Sorry, what breathing?
A bull.
A bull.
Like a Taurus.
A bull.
Dr. Energy is a Taurus. So as you were saying that, I was thinking of the bull breathing. Right,
Doctor? That's more of a snort, I think.
Oh. Well, it looks like it's huffing. All nostril. It's like when a, like I guess I've seen bulls in alive, right? Obviously, I won't be talking about this. Spain is a beautiful place. Yeah. So when I just think about that, inhale and that exhale. So snorting, breathing, to me, that was a powerful breathing technique that bull had. Don, thank you for sharing that. You talk about parenting and two boys.
That takes a lot of energy, I bet.
Share how you get the energy for that.
Oh, they give me a lot of energy, really, just in their aliveness. Particularly my youngest son. I mean, he's starting to, he's 11 now, and he's starting to come into his own awareness of life. Up to this point, he's been a fierce spirit and always just such a precious reminder about how we all have energy moving through us on different levels. And I think it's very much a parent's responsibility to keep in mind that they are facilitators for that energy to move through their children. And it may not always come through them in the way the parent wants. But when we consider that our, I guess the job side of our role is to keep them safe and alive as much as we can, everything else is really letting them be these free spirits who are basically practicing, whether they know it or not, they don't know it. They're children. They're practicing allowing that energy to move through them. And parents and mentors and elders can often stifle that in ways. So they're such huge teachers for me in terms of relaxing around certain behaviors and letting things be and letting them really shine. It's they're wonderful reminders for that.
Mm. So your 11-year-old son, that's the son that I met at the studio, right?
Yes, it is. Yes. Right. Yes, he is.
Yes. And your other son, I don't know if you mentioned the age of your other son.
He's 20.
Cool. So that's a different energy too, right?
Very much. Very much so. Yeah. Yeah. He's a bright light himself. He's got music in him and he's a really sharp-witted and interesting lad.
Young man.
And I know that you have a fur baby, Bo, and Bo is such a special fur baby. I hope we can talk about him for a few minutes. I hope you don't mind.
Sure, I'd love to. Bo is a certified therapy dog with the St. John's Ambulance Program. Mm-hmm. And so he's gone into hospitals, and he has been a mentor for many in that way of finding more calm and connection and ease. And he's a teacher of mine too, particularly around that breathing, because he is one, he's trying not to sound biased, but he's one of the calmest and most relaxed animals I've ever been around. And I know this particularly because of the way he breathes most of the time. It is nostril. He's not one of those dogs who's heavily panting and looking around and you know, ready to pounce on the next thing that moves. He's just very calm and relaxed and observant. And he's a wonderful reminder, again, for that staying present and grounded and just observing.
He's such a dedicated soul, because I have the pleasure and the honor of being around Bo and watching him when you're in the practice room and perhaps I'm, you know, waiting to go in or you haven't come out yet. Bo will, as if he's not breathing, he will stay perfectly still and wait for you to step out of the room.
Mm.
He's focused on that. I guess you can't see that because you're not there, but I'm sure you know that about him.
Well, I certainly see him waiting for me every time I come out of the room, which is so beautiful. This isn't something I or Meg, the woman I share him with, trained him to do. This is just him feeling that connection and wanting to be there for us. Mm-hmm. And it's so precious. It's not... from what I've heard, because you're right, I'm not in the same space. Mm. From what I've heard, though, it's not an anxiety-induced practice for him. He just calmly sits and waits.
He makes me want to do that. Like when I watch Bo, he makes me want to know how to be so still. And I do practice that in Shavasana very well.
Isn't there a commercial from the 80s, Bo Knows?
what is that again? That's right.
That's right. It was a shoe commercial. I don't want to necessarily name the company, but
okay.
Bo Knows.
When you meet Bo, you'll know he's so cool. Does he enter the men's circle? Let's talk about that a little bit. Is Bo in the circle or is he outside still waiting? And what are the men? Can talk a little bit about what the men's circle is.
Yeah, it sounds really interesting to me.
Yeah, that's a really blessed experience in my life to be a part of that and to be a facilitator. I call myself a facilitator rather than a leader, because when we sit in circle, the shape itself forms an energy of equality. So there's no top down direction or anything like that, and I simply provide the space and some guidance in terms of what the possibilities are, what the parameters are, and keeping everyone safe. Other than that, it's an experience that we form together, and we always start the sessions with a 10-minute meditation just to really ground ourselves and open our hearts more to the experience. And then we go through introductions and basically sharing what it is we hope to receive from our experience together that evening. And that is pretty much always where my agenda gets tossed out the window, because it is from those introductions that the natural direction for our experience together just kind of springs up and takes us. And it's so incredible to be a part of that. And it's wonderful because it's working with spontaneity and being in the moment and noticing how we can support each other and who needs what and where we can find more understanding,
right,
and take it from there. And no two circles have been the same. The the closest thing we come to structure really is the opening meditation, and then we close with a song so that we share in sound and we share in connecting through through music and vibration together.
That is so beautiful.
Very cool. And it, you really know, very needed in these times, especially, you know, for men to be able to share with other men and see that it's okay to share their experiences and whatever they might be going through or feeling. And it's definitely something that's not part of contemporary Western culture.
No,
unfortunately.
No, it's interesting. Almost every man who's shown up for Circle so far shares some level of resistance about coming at all, and how either their partner encouraged them or they fought it or they were looking for excuses not to come.
Right.
And then once they get there and by the end of it, they're like, they're so grateful for that experience. And you can see something shifting in it for them and for all of us together. It's such a gift.
Will you take that online, Don?
I was just making plans to today because we're not able to gather in person at this time. So I'm going to do some research into some sort of group gathering online. A lot of people out there probably know exactly what to do and do it all the time, but this is new for me. I'm very much a face-to-face, in-person gathering facilitator. So this is going to be very new for me, but I also think it's incredibly needed at this time, like even more so just with the mystery that surrounds us at this time as a planet.
Yeah.
Well, let us jump in. Oh, sorry. I was going to say, let us jump in and go ahead, Joe.
Yeah. I was just going to say this is something, you know, I'm in a Toastmasters club as well. And I'm part of some of the district, council as well. And so one of the things that we've been talking about is just creating as much as possible in these uncertain times, a sense of normalcy where although things are changing, we can still connect with each other. We can still see faces. We can still hear the voices by connecting, you know, online. So, you know, with Toastmasters, we can take a lot of the meetings online through various software platforms, and something like a men's circle, I'm pretty sure you could manage that too. So that's really awesome that you're going to keep that going. That's it's really, really needed. So congratulate you on that.
And I'm sure, Don, I was going to say, I'm sure the men that are in your men's circle, they would also be able to perhaps share what they do. So they may belong to organizations like Toastmasters, or I'm a Rotarian, or be board of director.
I'm a board of resources.
Arts Etobicoke, right. So we can share the resources that we not only use, but that we teach, apparently, since this is one of the things that we teach. But I'm sure that the men in the men's circle can also share, because that would give them a sense of, you know, contributing to your solution.
Right, of course.
Yes. And Don, I'd love to talk about Day of Pause, please. Can you share how this originated?
Okay. It actually came through a long sit, a deep meditation. I was in with some friends, actually, where we just set aside some time together to form a circle. Circles are a big part of my life. Form a circle and to be together and just invite something. And I had the most, I would have to say, the most moving experience of my life. This one particular evening, the best I can describe it, I think my thoughts just started to trail off. Yes, amidst meditation, my thoughts started to trail off into like what could be done, what could we do to reconnect with our humanity more, like, so what could people do in general to remind ourselves that we are humans and we're surrounded by humans, and there's something so beautiful and powerful to tap into with that we're just kind of missing. And then it came to me that what the world really needs to do is to stop, to take a moment and stop and notice. And in that very moment, when my mind went there, I've never felt anything like this before in my life. I'm sitting on the floor and I just felt this huge, powerful swell of energy come up from underneath me. And it was just, it felt like this big yes, mm-hmm. like all of the cells of my body were saying yes. And when you consider the I want to say ridiculousness and the abstractness of such an idea, it's not surprising that my first immediate reaction was doubt. Like, of course, you know, yeah. how could you make anything like that ever happen? And that swell up of energy just came again. And it was, yes, 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 do it, do it, do it. And it was unlike anything I've experienced in my life. Like, I've had like these beautiful, just powerful moments of something new and fresh and incredible hitting me, like seeing the birth of my boys and feeling this new sense of purpose. And I have to say, those experiences didn't parallel what I felt in that moment in that meditation. And I realized that I had to start taking steps in the direction of making this happen and working with my own self-doubt and my own doubt in the planet or anybody for mm-hmm. that matter listening to me about this idea. So it's been an incredible exercise in terms of self-confidence and trust and having faith and moving forward and trusting that the right people will step in to help, such as you two inviting mm-hmm. me to speak about this.
Well, Dom, we're happy that you're here doing mm-hmm. that. Have you ever spoken about Day of Pause like this so far?
I've done a couple podcast interviews so far. I've got a scheduled radio interview coming up.
Awesome.
I've done a couple videos about it, but that's it so far. There's a big reach out starting this week to more major media and influencers and whatnot. So, yeah, so this is very, very new for me, but at the same time, it feels so natural and needed for me to speak about.
Well, we'll follow you, and we'll follow you with mm-hmm. From the first, you know, whether it was an audio or YouTube, we'll keep you in our hearts and aligned mm-hmm. to know where you're going. I have a question that maybe our audience might have. From the moment that you received that download, for lack of a better word, that moment to now, how much time has passed so far?
Let's see, that was, what is this, 2020?
Yep, yes, sir.
It was December 2018.
Now, just like Richard Branson says.
December 2017.
2017, okay.
2017, so
just,
yes.
So just like Richard Branson says, when something comes to you, don't think about how, just say yes. And we talk about this often, Dr. Energy and I. So this is what happened to you in December of 2017. You said yes. And how did you choose May 5, 2020?
Interesting question. Originally, it was to be Earth Day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I wanted it to coincide with Earth Day. And that was the first date that came to me when I realized I had to take action around this. And I went so far as to create a logo for it and just start to put the word out to others asking for help through the Yoga Studio newsletter. And then in contacting the Earth Day Networks to bring them on board, I realized, I was told it was, this year is actually their 50th anniversary. And so their intention is to do the exact opposite on that day. Day of pause is an invitation for everybody to, as much as possible, put aside their schedules, put down their agendas, as many responsibilities as you can let go of, and really open up that day, that space, to notice what is truly, or who is truly important to you, and to maybe make some changes around that. And Earth Day Network, of course, was going in the exact opposite direction. They had like all of these big plans. And of course, why not? Their 50th anniversary, that's a beautiful big deal. So I realized I had to move the date. I wanted it to be in the spring, which is generally a time of renewal around the planet, particularly the Northern Hemisphere, the more industrialized part of the planet and the cooler part of the planet. Cooler is in temperature. I wanted it to be an easy number to remember. So 5/20/2020, I think is pretty easy. And I wanted it to be a Wednesday because it needs to be disruptive. It needs to be a day that challenges the most people in general in terms of making space, intentionally making space, asking for help, going to the right people to inform that you're going to take this time, you're going to take this space. All of those actions play a part in a greater shift for us all, even if it's simply, you know, going to your employer and saying, look, May 20th, I have to take the day off because I'm doing this and here's why it's important to me. Like, just to have those conversations starting to sprout up here and there, start a ripple.
So when you chose the date, as we were just talking, you chose 5/20/2020. So it would be an easy date to remember as opposed to 4/22/2020. So this is a great, easy number to know, right? Mm-hmm. Now, for the awareness of people who are listening who have not yet heard from the media of what's going on. So let's say somebody's listening for the first time and they want to participate in this day of pause. What do you recommend someone can do on their own for themselves, by themselves, if they cannot, for some reason, jump into some other organized aspect of this? What can we do on day of pause?
Well, the first thing I invite everybody to do is to, as best as they can, check in to see what came up for them upon immediately hearing of this idea. It's in those first few seconds upon hearing the idea in particular that can be a really good barometer around how helpful something like this can be in your life. So if you hear about this idea and you immediately go into thoughts of, oh my God, how am I going to be able to do that? Mm. Or holy, no one's going to do this. That's ridiculous. Right. Or what a stupid idea. Or how beautiful. Oh, it's too bad the people won't get on board with it though. Like, whatever your most immediate thought was around that, notice if it's in support and sees the possibility in it happening. If it's not there, if it just doesn't open you up immediately, there's proof that you are part of a system that does not support you in really living your fullest. I mean, when I first started talking about this over 2 years ago, a lot of people were saying, like, what, I don't know, what day is the week of that? Oh, Wednesday? No, I work Wednesdays. So this is 2 years in advance of the day, and people already perceive how programmed their lives are 2 years down the road and don't see the possibility and feel the obligation of having to be here or to do that or to show up for somebody. Like, that's how much of a machine we're caught up in that we can't even consider possibilities 2 years down the road.
And that's the whole point of the day, right?
That's the whole point of the day. Yeah. Right. Wake up and notice, what does it feel like to step out of your daily patterns? We're so much bound by our autopilot behaviors for the most part. I'm speaking in generals, but
yes.
I sit behind that reception desk at the studio and I greet students and I see people walk in, so many of them flustered and so relieved just to be able to walk into that space and make it in time for class and have time for themselves. And then as soon as class is over, jump up, get dressed, rush out the door. Not everybody,
right?
But there is definitely a felt sense of anxiety, societal anxiety, that a lot of us aren't even that aware of because it is just so in ourselves. And the only way to really, I think the only way to really get a sense of that is to stop and feel and notice what it is we're missing. And it's incredible because what's happening right now with the shutdown mode of coronavirus and all, this is life kind of doing it for us. It's like,
right,
the more we resist and the less we acknowledge our delicate interconnectedness with each other, the more life has a way of showing us otherwise. Like, so right now we're getting forced to slow down and stop and actually notice what's important.
So actually, thank you for sharing that, Don. When I'm going to the thought of when someone first hears about Day of Pause, what could they do? And your direct, very great suggestion is think about what is going on in their mind when they first heard of it. You'd mentioned it to me. So you knew about this in 2017. So I would imagine I was in the studio in 2018. We were at a workshop at the Old Mill, and Meg took the time, instead of speaking about herself, because she was at a workshop that we were hosting, and she decided that she would take her time instead of sharing about her, which was to share about you. And she stood up and talked about Day of Pause. And when she did that, I remember thinking, first of all, I know Meg, so I have the advantage to say, how selfless, because here she had a chance to say something about herself and she was speaking about you. And I understand that that's a great thing that, you know, we do that for one another, but Meg made that choice without hesitation. And then she spoke about it and she said some words about how you were in that meditation and how that came to you. And I thought, this is deeper than I understood or took the time to understand. And it must have been that day that I spoke to Dr. Energy and said, this is something like we really need to be able to help or do or step into, whatever word you want to use. And it was from that moment that Meg stood up and spoke about you and Day of Pause instead of herself, that decision was made. That was the interception, that moment. It was like, you know, a beautiful ray of light that went right to my mind and said, we can step into this. And as soon as I mentioned that to Joe, there was no hesitation. And immediately we reached out. And so when you talk about the moment that someone hears about Day of Pause, what do they do? For me, it was a bright light and an action and to get involved.
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised that was your most immediate response.
And for me, it was more, as soon as Catherine mentioned it to me, given what I do in my office as a chiropractor and the way that I work with people about self-awareness, body, emotion, mind awareness, it was a no-brainer. I could, as soon as she mentioned to me Day of Pause, I could just feel this breath open within me, and I was like, "Yep, we're in. Let's do whatever we need to do." Yep. So that's amazing. and then I think we even sent you the email while Catherine and I were on the phone together talking about it. So
yes. And we put that in our show note, in our agenda, and we have had your name with Day of Pause and the link that we have to that. And we look at it every time we're organizing our episodes, because mm-hmm. you were right there in the forefront from the moment that mm-hmm. was in October, actually, when Meg spoke about that. And so it's been since October that we have visually been looking at this together. And so we're so honored that you're here. And you chose St. Patrick's Day. So obviously this will be released before May 20th, just so you know, this will be released before Day of Pause, but that we're recording today on St. Patrick's Day. So mm-hmm. that's kind of fun, because there would have been a parade around what we're doing today. Right? So there is a day of celebration to honor the Day of Pause. So I think no matter how you look at it, you're going to be around a celebration, even though it's a Day of Pause, right? Yeah.
And
amazing.
and the funny part too is St. Patrick's Day, you know, green Irish, but green also happens to be the color of the heart chakra. So
yes,
you know, it's perfect timing. And also in native traditions, green is color of healing mm-hmm. as well. So well chosen, or a well met serendipity. Let's put it that way.
Absolutely. I even think of Earth Day when I think of the color green besides the color brown.
Yeah, same.
Right?
Yeah, I never knew Meg did that. That's wonderful. And for you to receive it in the ways you have, and to respond and reach out. Thank you so much. What an honor this is.
You're welcome. We honor that you share with us, and that you've allowed us to be part of this journey with you. And we're very excited to be catalyst to those who will be listening prior to Day of Pause. And once May 20th has come, and we are on May 21st and May 22nd, that Day of Pause becomes part of everyone's, or they integrate Day of Pause into their life, so that mm-hmm. they could carry the legacy of what you've started. Because it might be a Day of Pause on the 20th, but it won't end there. I have a feeling, Dawn, it will live and have this high vibration.
Yes.
Well, it's intended as a one-off, but there's a good chance this could be an annual thing, depending on, I guess, what the masses want and ask for and are into. But it's funny, you mentioned the 21st. Sometimes I wonder if that's not going to be the more significant day. Mm. Like, what will mm-hmm. be different for people the day after? What will they change, or what will they at least notice?
You know, Dawn, it makes me think of Yom Kippur and Lent. You know, the day after we fast, when we go and we eat, or when Lent is over, the mm-hmm. day, you know, it's important, obviously, to fast and to cleanse, but it's the next day that the results are really hitting us, right? Mm-hmm. So, and I do feel there's a sequel to what you're doing. It feels like a very deep vibration. I don't feel the sense of anything stopping, but whatever it evolves into, however you create that, I'm so happy that we could be here with you. And this, if it's okay with you, this feels like a really good time to segue into what we call our BU final moment. And in our final moment, we never know what's going to happen. It's just like this, right? It's a conversation worth having. That's how we coin what we say and what we do with our guests. And then what guests. And then what we like to do is come up with, what did we feel? What do we have to share? So in our final moment, and I'm giving you a couple of minutes just to sort of think about it, so that's why I'm describing it, I would love to hear what your BU final moment is, your takeaway from today's podcast, and then I will ask Dr. Energy, and then Dr. Energy will ask me, and I will share. Would you be ready to share your BU final moment with us, Dawn?
Yes, of course.
Great.
What comes up for me most immediately is a reflection of yours and Joe's sharing around that call to do something upon first hearing of a Day of Pause. And I'm feeling a bit self-conscious in this moment because this is truly what's coming up for me in this moment. But at the same time, it's going to sound a bit like a closing request. But it's so related to what we just talked about and how you both shared your responses. If you could go to deapause.org, the website, mm-hmm. watch the video, the info video, and doing your best not to let doubt and fear cloud your heart's desire to do something around the message you see in that video. If it touches your heart at all, please share the video. Please register for the event. Please talk to your friends about your participation, because something, a beautiful surprise that has also kind of sprung up from this is the realization, and this is happening now too with the shutdown of the coronavirus, it's just naturally happening, but we're starting to realize how, to whatever extent anybody participates on this day, or even if they don't participate, but they're aware of it, there is a mass shared experience there. And it's one that will not threaten your religious values. It's not one that challenges your political outlook. This is like stopping for any amount of the day on this day when millions of other human beings are doing it. There's something in that for everyone, and just reconnecting with our precious humanity that we all share, regardless of our different places in society. So that's my BU moment right there.
Thank you, Don. Beautiful. And Don, yes and yes, yes. To what you've just said. Thank you so much. We appreciate you sharing. Dr. Energy, what is your BU final moment?
So there's a couple things. The main thing is something that Don just said there near the end about with millions of other people participating at the same time. We create our reality with conscious intent. So when we know that there is this, for lack of a better word, field of consciousness around the world, and that we can all tap into this field of consciousness. And so when we start to consciously tap into this field of consciousness, mm-hmm. I know that sounds a little redundant, but we are actually co-creating it with everybody around the world, and all of that energy, focus, intent, will, mindfulness, etc., helps us to create our reality. So when we are doing this all together, it's not just for those of us who are actually doing it. It will have a ripple effect on the rest of humanity as well, because we are all part of humanity. We are all part of nature. There is no escaping that, as much as our rational mind wants to think that we are separate from nature. We are not. I know I'm lecturing a little, and I apologize for that, but just want people to connect in and feel their connection to everyone else. Remember that we are not alone. And when we move from I to we create something different when we are doing it together.
Beautiful.
And Catherine.
Thank you. Yes, my BU final moment is I really am thinking about that inception when I asked Don what he would like our audience, our guests, our listeners to do. And when you said to feel in the moment, so if I take that moment that Meg stood up and spoke, she didn't just speak, she stood up and spoke. Meg voiced what she had to say. Meg was passionate. Meg was like a love lightning bolt directly to my heart. That moment, if that's the moment that you are directing people to remember how they felt, that moment propelled me, catapulted me right into what can I do?
Amazing.
That's my takeaway. It's not just how, because just it's how. How did we feel? How did we hear about it? My goodness, Meg could have chosen to sit down and raise her hand, or not, that, you know, just like wave her hand. Meg could have chosen many, many different things. But what Meg chose to do was to stand strong, not knowing then what we would be in right now.
Right.
Chokes me up because the way that Meg stood strong in that room was amazing, amazing. I cannot tell you the amplification I feel towards what you're doing as a result of the moment that I heard about that at that moment. So I want to thank you so much, Dawn, for allowing us to be part and to share that moment that we hear about Day of Pause. And we will do as you said. I've watched the video, and I do know from what I've heard what you are doing, but it's not what you're doing. It's what's going to happen after that.
And who you're being.
Yes, I'm really tapping into that aspect of it. So I'm on, like, right here, standing strong next to you. We are standing beside you to support the foundation of what this is building.
So before we go, you know, we're going to put it in the show notes, but I'd like, if Dawn, if you don't mind just sharing that website address for people verbally, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
Sure. The web address is dayofpause.org. And on that site, you can register, and your registration is simply another name added to this growing scroll that I think gives a lot of other people the confidence to sign up themselves and see that something is growing, and that it that is going to become something really powerful. Thank you both so much for this privilege.
You're welcome. It's our pleasure. Thank you for joining us. Sharing is caring. Tell your friends about Conversations Worth Having on BU Network. We really appreciate your reviews, and you can do that on Apple Podcasts. Thank you.
For show notes and links, go to www.bu.network/podcasts. Connect with us via our website, www.bu.network, and build a relationship with us. Sign up to receive information, updates, and your free video training at www.bu.network/pro.
We're looking forward to hearing from you, and thank you for being with us. Ciao.
Ciao, babies.